16th verse. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord, you are my Redeemer, you are my Christ. It is in your name I pray these things. Amen. I would be remiss in a big way that if I didn't begin our time together this morning by not wishing all of those wonderful people a happy Mother's Day that are here with us, both in person and online. And of course, we have a very special mommy and our youth pastor here today. Yes. Anyway, a very happy Mother's Day to one and all, needless to say. You know, you may not be aware of it, because most people in the church today really aren't. But the fact is that the Feast of the Ascension, that is when Jesus returns to the right hand of the Father, has been in the life of the church, at least from the 4th century onward, universally, and before that in many, many places. Equally as important as the birth of Christ, his nativity, as well as Easter, when he was resurrected from the dead. The ascension was held by the church from the earliest of days until rather recently, with some of these revisions that we've gone through in our lifetime. It has been held in such high regard because it marks the end of not only Jesus' life on earth, but more distinctly, the fact that his earthly ministry had come to an end. And guess what, church? Ours begins. Now, we're going to hear more about that really beginning with power next week when Father Brian speaks to us on Pentecost. But we can't ignore this whole process here on the Sunday after Ascension. We just simply cannot do so. It is of such great import that we have to really pay attention to it and realize what Jesus was trying to say as he was getting ready to leave. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That is, for those who do not recognize it, the Great Commission. Jesus speaking to the 11 and that very large group of men and women. And there were a lot of people on that hill that day as Jesus ascended. Jesus commissioning them, and likewise, every generation since then, including all of us, that we now are supposed to be in the world, not of it, but in the world, doing the things that Jesus did, teaching everything that Jesus taught and making it known. Mother Teresa, as I've often quoted her, said, and if you have to, use words, but do it indeed. Indeed is how she said it. Indeed. And that's what we do. Yesterday, when we were over to Dover, it was a wonderful time and experience, as it always is, as we had that opportunity both here and the other three places we were at serving food. It was a wonderful opportunity to serve people in need. And on more than one occasion in that event while I was out there, I had people coming up to the table and thanking us for being there and delivering a meal to them that they so desperately needed. And without fail, every opportunity we had, we said, it's not us. This is not optional. This is not our choice. Jesus sent us here. He said, go. And what do what? To feed, to clothe, to visit, to give a drink, etc., to those in need. And that would be the determination as to who gets into heaven or not, as he separates the sheep from the goat. I hope we had four very loud lambs baaing yesterday on our side of the table, serving the people of God. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Doing those things that God has called us to do in serving others, as Jesus did. And that's what this commissioning was all about. And next week, we're going to find out more all about it, but this becomes rather problematic. You see, the disciples had an advantage that we don't have. Don't say they were blessed by not having the internet. We know that's true. But the truth of the matter is, they knew good and well that they did not have the power to do the things that they had to do on their own. They understood it. They knew that they didn't have it. The problem in our world that we face today is that humanity believes we can do anything on our own, with our own power, our own thinking, our own everything, our own ideas, and whatever it is that trips our trigger at the moment. We have this new great idea, and we try to force it into the life of the church and into the world. I think we've known a few clergy, brother, through the years, some of them wearing purple shirts, that bishops, that have done that. You know what the problem with that is, folks? If it is not empowered by the Spirit of the living God, if it is not initiated there, eventually it's going to fade away. In the best case scenario, in time, when that person is no longer there to push that agenda, it will fade away to nothing. In worst case scenarios, it comes crashing down over our head, and it leaves another big mess inside the life of the church. The disciples and those people who were there at the ascension knew full well they did not have that power. They did not have that understanding, unlike the modern world. And that should teach us a very valuable lesson about where we rely upon, what we rely upon before we decide to go off in whatever new direction or idea that we come up with on our own. Is it of God, or is it of human origin? That is the key. Now, one of the most interesting things, I think, that I know firsthand is that when the power of God is present, it makes a big difference in how things are in this world. That when that power is present with us in our everyday living, in our everyday world, a change, a difference takes place that cannot be attributed any other place than in the power of God himself. Let me give two recent examples from my ministry. There was a wonderful friend of mine. He became a great friend, a parishioner. We liked to play golf together, among other things, and do some other fun stuff together. They had been married for over 60 years, this couple had. And through over 30 years of deployments and assignments overseas and places of danger, I think a total of 4 different tours in Vietnam, this man served with the Navy. The Brown Water Navy, if you don't know what that is, we can talk later. And so the most dangerous places in the Middle East, he also went. Until eventually, in his career, he ended up as one of the assistant secretaries of the Navy for 2 different administrations in 2 different political parties. And imagine what happened when all of a sudden Jim received the diagnosis of stage 4 cancer fully metastasized when it was first discovered. And I know in talking with her, she talked about how every morning when she first got up, the quiet desperation that was gnawing at her, that was trying to keep her from being able to do the things that she wanted and to do and needed to do with her spouse. And very quickly, by a force and a power outside of herself, she was able to overcome those human limitations, was able to care for this husband of over 60 years until the end, victoriously, and celebrated his life and death, and was able to carry on in the life of Christ. That didn't come from inside of her. That wasn't of origin inside of her. It was originated in God. The second example I would give you was of this young man who over half of his life had been totally drug addicted. He was a heroin addict. And on top of all that, for the previous decade, he was demon possessed. Now, I know some of you may go, Father, he just has psychiatric problems. No, don't believe Satan's lie for a moment. He was demon possessed. His mother called me on the phone and asked if she could bring her son, who I had never met before, over to see me. And they were running late, and I was running late for another event, and I was outside the church door when they pulled up, and she got him out of the car and got him up to me. And there on the outskirts of the church on the steps, I anointed and prayed for this young man. And in that moment, the demon left him that had possessed him for those 10 years. And I'm telling you to this day, because I'm in communication with this young man many times in every week since, he's never once, not once, taken a drug into his body. He had been through rehab in hospitals 2 and failed. And yet the power of the living God from outside of him coming into him released him not only from the demon of hell, but the demon of possession. This is how God works, my friends. This is the power that was unleashed inside of us, the church, at ascension. This is what Jesus was talking about. Let me read that again to you one more time. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. And he gives the commands. It doesn't come outside of us. We can't do it with our intellect. We can't do it with whatever degrees we've stacked up behind our name. It is done by the power of the living God working inside of us, just as Jesus did as he walked this earth. Now, I want to conclude with one crazy idea for you. It's a crazy idea, and it's also a challenge, by the way. I want you to hear again this Great Commission part. Jesus says, "Go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." This is not Greek class, but here's a little Greek for you to challenge you. This word that we play with, let's just leave it at that, as baptizing. That's not that what that word is. That word is baptismo, which means to immerse. To immerse. And it has nothing to do with water. Not a thing with water. So let's try this again. "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It's just like when I convinced my children to study history. As I work with them trying to learn mathematics or some other school subject and immerse them, there was no water involved in any of it. This is not about water. This is becoming so incalculated with the living God in such a way that we in fact have the power and the authority to change lives around her. And here's the challenge, my friends. Jesus has turned us loose on the world. And think about this. 11 men, a circle of about 40 or 50 additional men and women who were with them, who received this commissioning, who took this immersion to heart to immerse the world around them in the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Lives were changed. The world was altered. And the same thing could be true today. If you and I, we together here at Holy Innocence, would begin that same immersion process of the world around us. Think of the changes that could be wrought. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.